Welcome to the PeopleStack podcast, where I share insights on how to upgrade your career as a technical manager. I'm Jen Bunk. I'm a career coach for tech managers and CEO of the PeopleStack. If you'd like to find out more about what we do here at the PeopleStack, please check out our webinar at thepeoplestack.com/webinar. You're going to learn the four strategic and mindset shifts our clients have used to command 200K plus salaries as tech managers while living lives of abundance, freedom, and joy. Without further ado, please enjoy today's episode. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to a new week and welcome to a new topic on the PeopleStack podcast. I'm Jen Bunk. I am CEO of the PeopleStack. We are career coaches for tech managers, and our mission is to help every single tech manager on this planet to build her or his dream career. We want you to build your dream career because that is going to change the face of the way that tech works, the way that this world works, and is going to change the world one tech manager at a time. When you build your dream, you are inspiring others to do the same, your team, your family. So it's time for you to rise up as the leaders. You know who you are so that you can build your dream career, what it is that you want. And in the process, you're going to make a massive positive impact as well. And so speaking of making a massive positive impact and being successful, feeling fulfilled as a technical manager, as a technical leader, what we're going to talk about this week is the tech career game. How do you win the tech career game? And even more specifically, what are the rules of the tech career game? You know, Rob and I have had a major realization, a major breakthrough over the last week or so as we've been looking at the patterns of the technical managers who we speak with. You know, over the last 6 years, we've spoken with thousands of technical managers who want to get to that next level in their careers, whether they're technical tech leads and want to move into official management roles. Maybe they're even individual contributors and want to continue to be leaders in that way. Or a lot of our clients are technical, like managers. Your job title is a manager or senior manager, and you want to break through to that next level and become a director, become a VP, perhaps even land in the C-suite someday, and perhaps even use that momentum, use that as a vehicle for starting your own business and having that freedom. Whatever it is that goal for, whatever that goal is for you, you want to upgrade your career. And one of the patterns that Rob and I have noticed, so Rob is Rob Allen. He's my COO. He also happens to be my husband, for those of you who are curious, for the new listeners. What Rob and I have noticed is that when we look at the questions that people ask when they first come to us, or if we even take a look at the questions that are asked in a lot of technical leadership forums, like Slack teams and things like that, like discussion boards, stuff like that. What we've noticed is that the reason that so many tech managers, and you may be one of them, are failing to win the tech career game is because you're not playing by the actual rules. Like, you think the rules are A, B, and C, but actually the rules are X, Y, and Z. What you think the rules of the game are, they're not. So it means you're playing some different version of the game, and that's why you're not winning. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when kids do this all the time, right? My son, you know, he's 11, and we'll do it intentionally, right? Like, we'll go out and we'll play basketball, for example. You know, we'll bring a basketball down to the local playground and we'll shoot some hoops, right? We'll play around. And somewhere along the lines, maybe we forgot to tell our son that the rule of the game is how you win the game is to get the ball in the hoop. But like the rule in his mind is just to be silly and bounce the ball and, you know, and have fun, right? So like sometimes we do that intentionally, like, oh, I'm playing a different game. I don't know what game you're playing. I'm playing this game over here. And if you do it intentionally, that's cool, right? And especially if it's just for fun. But when it's a game you actually want to win, if you're playing by the wrong rules, there's no way you're going to win. If you're playing basketball by the wrong rules, oh, I need to dribble a bunch and I need to pass the ball a bunch. That's the goal of the game. Okay, great, got it. When you don't even realize, or you're forgetting that the rule of the game, the major rule of the game, how you win is to score that basket and get the basket in the hoop. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. And, you know, we see this everywhere. Like I mentioned, we see this, it's basically, we want to bust some myths here. There's myths out there about how to upgrade your technical career. And we want to bust them because they're simply not true. And they come from a variety of different places. They come from well-meaning friends who are giving you advice. They come from online forums. They come from people who maybe followed those rules and just got lucky and ended up working for them. But look, for most of those, it's an N of one. It's anecdotal data. It's, oh, it worked for me. You should go do it this way. We have an N of thousands. Like that's why a lot of our clients hire us, is because we don't just have that micro view of, oh, this worked for this one person, so why don't you give it a shot, right? We can see the patterns, and that's why I share these patterns, because so many people don't have that vantage point. There aren't that many career coaches for technical managers. We're out there, right? But there's not that many of us. So it's a unique perspective that many of you do not have. And that's why I want to share this perspective. And it comes from so many different places. You know, one of the places where it comes from is, you know, asking questions on forums, on Slack groups, on Slack teams, like the RANS Leadership Slack. I know that there's probably some of you out there who are on the RANS Leadership Slack right now, Michael Lopp's leadership team, leadership Slack that he started how many years ago now. I know that there's some of you out there that are listening who are on the RANS Slack. For those of you who are out there on the RANS Slack, hi, Rob's on there as well. So if you're on there and you're a PeopleStack fan, please go ahead and send Rob Allen a message on RANS and tell him Jen sent you. Jen told you to say hi. And so absolutely feel free to start a conversation with Rob in the RANS Slack if you prefer to talk that way. But anyway, we see a lot of questions in the RANS Slack and on forums and in channels around leadership and careers and stuff like that, and other places too, that reveal these myths. And there's one big myth. There's this one big rule that you think is a rule, that this is how you upgrade your technical career, when it's actually not true at all. And I want to bust this myth right now. And the way that this myth shows up is in a variety of different ways. And the way that we noticed it is because we get a lot of questions. And we see a lot of questions, like on the RANS Slack and other places, that kind of go like, you know, hey, Jen, hey, Rob, hey, everyone, I want to get to becoming a manager, or I want to become a director of engineering. I want to become a director of IT, or even a VP of engineering, a VP of IT, or, you know, a head of product. I want to be a technical project manager, or I want to be a technical product manager. I want to get to that next level. So my question is, how do I keep my technical chops while also continuing down the management path? How do I keep my technical chops while also continuing down the management path? The myth is woven into that question. Because woven into that question is an assumption that in order to choose the management path, in order to up-level your career as a technical manager, you need to keep your technical chops. That's the assumption that's woven in there. And a lot of the well-meaning, but I'm going to say it, bad advice that we see people giving others is they're taking that assumption is true. Oh yeah, okay, got it. You want to keep your technical chops and you want to become a director of engineering. Got it. So what you can do, and the advice usually falls along, well, make sure you keep side projects, you know, make sure you keep getting certifications, make sure you at least spend X percent of your time, 10% of your time, 15% of the time in the code, right? Make sure that you're intentionally setting aside time, whether it's a, you know, work time or a side gig or something like that, you know, going to conferences, make sure you stay on top of all of the technical stuff, because you don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose that. Yeah, absolutely. So do this. But advice that's given from a place where the premise is flawed advice. It's flawed advice because the premise of that question is flawed. How do I keep my technical chops? Well, climbing the technical leadership ladder. The premise is flawed. It's a myth that you have to keep your technical chops in order to become the best technical leader you could possibly be. That's the myth. The truth is that in order to become the best technical leader you can possibly be, you have to let go of the technical side of it and instead embrace the people side of it. Leadership is about people, my friends. All tech problems are people problems. That's why we're called the people stack and not the tech stack, because we help technical leaders. It's all about people. Leadership is all about people and nothing about tech. So you have to let go of that part of you that wants to improve your technical chops and stay on top of every single technology and get certified in every single new thing that comes out and code every single day so you don't lose that coding ability. I don't want to lose my coding ability. I don't want to fall behind. I don't want to become irrelevant. I don't want you to become irrelevant either. And the fastest way, so if your goal is to become the best technical leader you can possibly be, the fastest way to become irrelevant is to completely ignore up-leveling your leadership skills, which are your people skills. So if you want to become irrelevant as a leader, go right ahead and dive in to every single new technology, every single new language. Become a master at every single language out there. That's the fastest way to become irrelevant as a technical leader. That's the truth. So the other myth buried in here is that I'm going to lose my technical chops. That's another premise. How do I keep my technical chops while I'm climbing the career ladder as a technical leader? How do I keep those chops? I don't want to lose them. I'm just going to be direct with this, my friend. You're not going to lose them. It's like riding a bike. Like, just take a look at this. Look, what is the real truth here? Is the truth that you're going to lose it? Or is the truth that you're just a little bit afraid to let go of what you've been spending a very good part of your life focusing on? Being in the code, being in the weeds, developing that mastery. And there may be a bit of an existential crisis going on where it's like, oh gosh, I don't know that I want to let go of that. I'm not sure if I'm ready for something new. That's okay. If that's the truth, then embrace the truth that it's, I don't want to let go of this because I'm a master at this and I don't want to jump into the unknown. But it's when we jump into the unknown that we're truly alive. It's why you've decided to become a leader, because you know at the deepest part of your heart, in the deepest part of your soul, that that's what you want to do. And it feels a little bit scary and hell yeah, I'm going to do it. But then the old programs start coming in, literally and metaphorically as well. I need to write these programs. I need to write this code. How do I want to make sure I don't lose that part of me? You're not going to. You're never going to. It is like riding a bike, but it's even more than that too. It's part of your identity. You know how to code. You know how to do it. You know about whatever it is your technical area of expertise is. Whether it's coding, whether it's data analysis, whether it's IT infrastructure, whether it's info security, whether it's DevOps, whatever it is, you learned how to do it and you mastered it. You're never going to lose that. You know, it's like for me, as I was up-leveling my career, my technical geekery was data analysis. And for almost 10 years, I was nose deep, knee deep, whatever metaphor, in data analysis. I was in the weeds in data day after day after day, and data analysis and data reports and SPSS. I loved it every single day. I absolutely loved it, and I mastered it. I mastered correlation tables. I mastered multiple regression and moderation and mediation and structural equation modeling and hierarchical linear modeling. Give me a data set, give me a research question, and I will explore that question from so many different places, and I will give you data that will make your heart sing. I will give you reports. I will test hypotheses, and I will find stuff in that data that you didn't even know existed. That's what my life was like for 10 years. And then I chose to become a leader, an academic leader that wasn't in the weeds of data analysis, and then later on, an entrepreneur, a career coach, a leader of leaders, a leader of technical leaders. I haven't opened SPSS in, I'm making a really big face right now, I don't even know, at least 5 years, but it's got to be more than that. Because when we say at least 5 years, it's usually closer to 10. I haven't even opened it. But if I chose to dive in and do some data analysis, could I still do it? Abso-flippin-lutely. And if there's some newfangled, you know, data analysis stuff that comes out, like there's always new stuff. Right? It's like this thing, I'm going to be so behind. There's so many new languages coming out. And like for me, there's so many new forms of data analysis coming out. Oh my God, I'm 10 years behind on this. So first of all, if there are some new, I mean, there's new stuff coming out in data analysis all the time. Hierarchical linear modeling was a new thing for me when I was doing it and I mastered it. So I now, it's been like 10 years since I've even like done any of that stuff. I know that there's probably been, for sure, like some new stuff that's come along in that. If I chose to, I could dive back in because I didn't lose the core skill of being able to analyze data. That's always going to be with me. I'm going to have to dust off the cobwebs a little bit, for sure. But I didn't forget how to analyze data. So if I chose to learn whatever the new stuff is and, you know, like machine learning, because a lot of machine learning is around data. If I chose to do that stuff that I never learned, you know, so the stuff that's like around prediction and huge, you know, huge predictive models. I never quite got into that. If I wanted to, I could do that. I didn't lose the core skill of learning how to, of knowing, of a master, because I mastered it. I'm still a master at data analysis. Just like you're still a master at your form of geekery or nerdery or whatever it is, or you know, technical chops, whatever it is you want to call it. You're still a master at knowing how to code. Are there some languages that you never learned how to code in because maybe they've come out or there's been improvements since you opened up GitHub or whatever it is? Yeah, but you still know how to code. You still know how to write a programming language. You still know how to write syntax. You still know how to do data analysis. You still know whatever it is, you still know info security. You still know technical infrastructure, whatever it is, you don't lose that, my friends. And here's the other thing, and this is the bigger one. I don't choose to analyze data anymore because that's not what I do. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a career coach. I'm a leader of technical leaders. I have chosen to be a leader. And instead of continuing to master data analysis, what I've done instead is I've mastered becoming a mentor. I've mastered becoming a leader of leaders. I've mastered leadership to the point where I can show other leaders how to do that. You've chosen to become a leader. You've chosen to step into the unknown and become the best leader that you can possibly become. And guess what that's going to mean? It's going to mean that you're not going to be focused where you're focused before. You're shifting your focus, you're shifting your attention, you're shifting your energy, your mental energy, your cognitive energy, your emotional energy, your spiritual energy, your behavioral energy. Every single part of you is now focused on, I want to become the best leader I can possibly be. And that's what you choose. And somewhere along the way, you realize, I don't need to code anymore. I don't need to dive into the weeds anymore because I'm a leader. I have a team who does that. I know how to lead. That is what I am choosing to master right now. I know how to influence other people, inspire other people. That's what I'm choosing to master right now. I am a leader who knows how to build relationships and build rapport and build trust with a team like it's nobody's business. That's what I'm choosing to focus on and master right now. I know how to think strategically. I know how to have that big vision for the future. And I lead my team toward that vision, that strategic vision for the future. That's what I'm choosing to master right now. And I know how to get things done effectively and efficiently. And I do it so easy. It's with such a lightness that people look at me and they marvel at how much I'm able to get done in how little time. And I choose to master that leadership skill right now. You can't master all of those leadership skills and also continue to master the technical in the weeds ends of things. It's not possible. It's just not. Leadership is too darn hard, my friends. You either choose to be a leader or you can choose to continue to level up as an individual contributor. You cannot do both. You're either going to lead teams and level up all those skills that I talked about, or you can be an individual contributor. You absolutely can still call yourself a leader as an individual contributor as you move yourself up that way. But here's the thing, you're not going to be leading teams. It's a different skill set. Focus on what you want out of your career. And I know that the vast majority of you have chosen to become leaders. Choose it, embrace it. Embrace the unknown. Take the leap of faith because that's what you've chosen. And, you know, one of the tough things about this is because it's kind of like you're rock climbing and you're on this precipice, right? Or you're hanging on right here. You're hanging on to this, I don't know what they call it in rock climbing, like this stronghold or foothold, handhold. And there's this other one around the corner. That's leadership. But it's a little bit scary because you can't see it. You've never done it before. And you gotta use your senses. You gotta feel for it. And it's absolutely a leap of faith. It's easy to just keep doing this because you can see it. Same path, same path, same path. But when it's like, oh, I wanna make a lateral move and move into the leadership track, you're going into the unknown. And yes, it's scary. That's why we're here. So if you're committed to leveling up your career as a technical leader, and you know that you will never lose that mastery, that technical mastery, it's time for you to move on and move up. The only way to move up from where you are right now is to go into the unknown. And that's what we're here. That's what we're here for. We can be your eyes and your ears and your senses and your GPS to let you know these are the challenges that you're going to face. This is the muscle you need to build. These are the processes to follow. This is the form and the function of what it's going to look like. This is how you build that muscle so you could take that leap of faith, and you can do it with unbridled optimism and unbridled joy and unbridled gratitude. So if that's what you want, I want you to book a call with us right now. thepeoplestack.com/book. You got to be committed. You have to show up to that call coachable. And if you are, it's going to be the most valuable conversation, the most valuable career conversation you have ever had. And you're going to look back on the questions that you asked before, like, how can I keep my tech chops while continuing up the career ladder? And you're going to sigh and you're going to chuckle at yourself and say, I'm never going to lose those tech chops. And you know what? I choose to lead now. That's what's next. I'm going to master the art of being the best leader I can possibly be. And that's what I want to focus on. That is what I'm committed to. And that is how I'm going to get to that next level in my career. I need to leave the past behind and focus on something new, a new area of mastery, if I want to create something new in my career and in my life. And we can help you do that. Book a call with us today, thepeoplestack.com/book. If you are playing the technical career game, the technical leadership game, thinking that the rule is, I gotta keep my tech chops while I also become the best leader, it's not gonna happen. Fastest way to become irrelevant. It's like playing basketball and not realizing that the goal is to get it in the hoop. Your goal is to lead. Your goal is to make an impact. Go do that. That's it for the day, folks. Talk to you soon. Bye for now. And that wraps up another episode of the People Stack podcast. Thanks for listening and for supporting our mission. We are all helping to positively transform the tech world, one tech manager at a time. I have so much gratitude for all of you, for our loyal listeners, and for my team, including my amazing CTO/husband, Rob Allen, our extremely talented mindset coach, Mariana Lacombe, and our super awesome, always on top of everything, executive assistant, Lauren Underwood. Also, this podcast would not be possible without the help of our innovative and warm-hearted sound consultant and podcast producer, my brother, Lou Bunk. And thank you also to Ketsa for creating the catchy, inspiring music we get to use in our podcast. We love you all. Until next time.